Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. I think we all know that everyone in this room, including ourselves, are not perfect. We can agree to that. We all get that. And so there's no surprise to any of us that we have failed and that we have done things we shouldn't have done, and that we do things that go against God's will and do things that harm others and things that are selfish. We are all aware of that. We are all very much aware of that. And some of you have family members that help you become very aware of that. Correct? Some of you have multiple family members that feel like it is their calling in life to make sure that you know that you have those faults and failures. Correct? And sometimes we do things and we don't even realize what we've done until much later, and somebody brings it up, or we're watching a situation unfold and we realize, oh no, that's what I did. I've had the situation where I've had conversations with people and then I've had to go aside, and Heidi has spoken to me and said, you really came across this way and you really carried, you did this or this. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And of course, Heidi's very kind and gentle, but essentially says, yes, you did. And eventually, I push through that mental block that's in the way there and realize what I've done, and realize that the pride or the selfishness or the anger or the whatever that has been building up inside of me that came out in that sinful reaction, which often for me has been historically putting people down, belittling other people. And the reality is that when I have become aware of those things, I have then needed to go and confess that to God, confess that to the other person, say sorry, and then go to God to make it right. And I'm not saying that so that you feel bad for me, because, well, I think that's futile. You probably don't feel bad for me anyways. But because I think you all get that. Right? I think you all have similar experiences and have an idea of what that feels like. And as we are talking about the sacrifices in the Old Testament, that scenario was something that played out quite often, that when a person in the Israelite camp became aware of sin in their life, there was a certain procedure that they needed to follow in order to make that right, and they had to then go and make a sin offering. And there were different variations on that sin offering that they had to do depending on who they were. And you guys understand what it feels like to have a sin become aware. You to become aware of that sin in your life, and whether it might be that those lies that you've been telling, those white lies, are just plain lies. Maybe you're realizing that you've been walking down the road too far and you have started to emotionally cheat on your spouse, or maybe you have started to actually cheat on your spouse and you had justified it for some reason, and then the light bulb finally comes on and you're like, no, what am I doing? You've realized that cheating on your taxes is still stealing. That unforgiveness you have been holding on to against your ex or about a family member that hurt you terribly. That unforgiveness and that bitterness that you've been holding on to has actually been eating you from the inside out and is contrary to God's will, and you become aware of that. Those sins show up. And like the Israelites, they would have to then go and fix it. And how it happened in the Old Testament is they would go and they would make this sin offering. And they would take it to the priest, and there would be a procedure. And let me, I want to read to you a few passages that kind of outline this procedure. In chapter 4, Leviticus chapter 4, starting in verse 32, it says, if someone brings a lamb as their sin offering, they are to bring a female without defect. They are to lay their hands on its head and slaughter it for a sin offering at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the lamb of the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of the food offerings presented to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven. In verse 11, it says, but the hide of the bull and all its flesh, as well as the head and legs, the internal organs and the intestines, that is, all the rest of the bull, he must take outside the camp to a place ceremonially clean where the ashes are thrown and burn it there in a wood fire on the ash heap. And in chapter 6, talking more about the offering, in verse 29, it says, any male in a priest's family may eat it, may eat the certain parts of that sacrifice. It is most holy. But any sin offering whose blood is brought into the tent of meeting to make atonement in the holy place must not be eaten. It must be burned up. Okay, I understand those are all very disconnected portions of Scripture, but this is what it boils down to in some of the details that we need to understand. Number one, you become aware of your sin. The Israelite brings the sin offering, depending on whether it's a priest or a leader of the community or just you as a citizen, depending on where you are, depends on whether you have to bring a bull or a goat or a lamb. You bring it and you place your hands on the animal and it is killed. And the blood is poured out. And the fat is burned. And you, as the one who is offering the sacrifice, do not get any portion of that animal. We've talked about the fellowship offering and how you would bring the fellowship offering and the priest would get some of it and you would get some of it. And you had to eat it in that moment as an expression of being with God in that moment. And there are different times when you would bring an offering and you would get portions of it. But in this one, you don't get any of it. In certain situations, the priest would get some of it. In other situations, the priest didn't even get any of it. They had to gather up all the rest of the animal other than the blood and the fat that was burned on the altar. And they had to gather up all the rest of the animal, take it outside of the camp, and burn it outside the camp. It wasn't the whole animal that was burned. And you didn't get any of it. What does that have to do? What does that mean? I believe that this offering is an expression of what God is doing with you and with your sin. I believe looking at this offering, it shows us that you are covered, you are forgiven for that sin. The shedding of blood covers your sin, but then that sin that you lived out, you have no part of anymore. There's nothing in this that says, once you kill the animal and you drain it of its blood, you must then strap it to your back and carry it around for a week to make sure that you understand just how guilty and horrible you are as a person. And you should be smelling the stink of the rotting flesh to remember that you are a terrible human being for having done that. It's not what it says. It doesn't even allow you to eat any of the offering. It doesn't even go inside of you and become part of you. It is something that goes and is given, and you don't get any part of it. And when you look at the higher responsibility that carried by the priest, they don't even get any of it. It is taken out of the camp, away from the altar, and it is burned outside the camp. Because I believe God is trying to make a very clear statement that not only does He forgive you and cover your sin by the shedding of blood, but He removes the sin. The sin is no longer part of you. It has no weight on you. You don't need to carry it anymore. It is far off and separated from you. The sin isn't just covered, it is removed. And for you and I, we know that we don't need to sacrifice an animal when we come and we are made aware of a sin in our lives. We don't need to go and sacrifice something. We don't need to lay our hands on an animal and slaughter it and deal with the blood and get covered in guts or whatever. We don't have to do that because we believe that Christ Jesus died for you and for me. And that by His shed blood and His resurrection, that we have forgiveness of sin. That He was a perfect sacrifice to make the perfect way of forgiveness for us. And because of that, and because of this example in the sacrifice, I believe that for you and for me, that the blood of Christ doesn't only cover your sin, He removes it. The blood of Jesus doesn't just cover your sin, it removes it. Any of you ever had rats or mice on your property or in your house? A lot of fun, isn't it? And we all know that the best thing to do when that happens is to simply clean up all the feces and leave the rats alone, right? Right? You go and you clean up your counter, you wipe all the mouse droppings off of your counter, and then you leave the mice alone, and the next day you do it again, right? That's what we do? No? No, you kill those suckers. Right? You go out and you get 12 or 18 traps. Some of them live traps. Three of them are live traps. The rest of them are death traps. And you take care of those pests. Why? Because you don't want mouse droppings in your food. You don't want them destroying your house. You don't want them contaminating things and getting you and your family sick. Jesus didn't come just to clean up the turds in your life. He came to get rid of the mice and the rats. The blood of Jesus doesn't just cover sin. He removes it. And I think that gives us two very important things that we need to take away today. The first one is, that forgiveness is really complete for you. And for some of you, you have held sins and you have faced the reality of the sins in your life and you have continued, for some reason, carrying that dead animal on your back. And you know the sacrifice was made and you know you were forgiven, but for some reason you continue to hold on to the guilt of your sin and you continue to let it plague you and make you feel guilty and you constantly smell it and you feel bad about yourself and you beat yourself up about it and you let other people beat you up about it and you let it come up in conversation and you constantly feel overwhelmed and destroyed by your past, by your sin. Now I need to tell you today that the blood of Jesus doesn't just cover sin, it removes it. And you don't need to carry that anymore. This isn't something where God has forgiven you and said, yes, and that's taken care of, but I want you to feel bad about it for the rest of your life. He's saying, I have taken care of it. You are free, and you are forgiven, and you don't need to carry that anymore. You don't need to think about it anymore. You don't need to make up for it anymore. You don't need to feel guilty about it anymore. That sin from your past is forgiven. The sacrifice has been made. The blood has been shed. You are free. And for some of you in this room, that is a hard thing to accept. But I believe that is what God's word, what God's declaration says. That not only is that sin covered, it is removed, and you don't need to carry it anymore. The other thing that it means for you and for me is that not only does God bring forgiveness, but He changes how you can live from here on out. You don't have to have those rats in your house anymore. You don't have to live in a world where you continue to deal with mouse droppings and mice. He cleans you up, He removes it, and He removes a problem that was there all along. He doesn't just cover up the sin, He removes it. And that addiction that you have been struggling with, looking at things online or struggling with hatred and bitterness, or the way that you have constantly just felt to belittle other people, or the greed and the violence that comes out of you, or the lust that kind of drives you, whatever it is, and that thing that you continue to struggle with. Jesus came not simply to bring forgiveness, but to remove that from your life. And that is a promise that He brings to us, is that those sins that we keep going back to, that we keep letting into our lives, do not need to be permanent parts of our lives, and He can actually remove it. He can actually change your heart and your desires and how you live, how you react to other people. He can actually make it so that those sins and those addictions that have driven you in your life become less and less appealing. They lose their taste. And some of you are here and you have felt completely defeated by sin. and that you seem to get forgiven, and then you go back to it, and you try to make it right, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and then you do it again. And you've just become accustomed to it and said, well, I'm thankful for the love of God, and I'm thankful for His forgiveness, but this is just going to be part of my life. And I don't think so. I believe that God doesn't want to just cover your sin. He wants to remove it. And so some of you need to simply accept the full forgiveness of God and not carry the guilt anymore. And others of you here need to embrace the reality and the promise and the miracle that God says, and by the work of Jesus, that you do not need to continue living in that sin, and that you have a way forward. And by His power, not by your effort, not by your strength, but by His power and His shed blood and the resurrection that says that He died and did not stay dead, that power says that you don't have to continue living in sin. You don't need to continue repeating those destructive behaviors. The worship team's going to come up, and we're going to wrap things up here. And as they come and they do this last song, if God has spoken to you this morning and said, you need to give up that guilt, you need to stop carrying that, this forgiveness removes the sin from you. Or if you're here and He has put something on your heart and you know that you have been sinning and it is time to finally repent, it is time to finally confess it, then during this next song, I want you to do that. I want you to say that to Him. And whether that's coming to the altar or kneeling in your seat or just in how you sing the song, make that declaration to Him saying, I need your forgiveness. Please take this guilt from me. Free me. Then do that in this moment. And if you are here and God has spoken to you and said, I don't want you to continue living like that, and you don't have to, I want you to claim that during this next song. Claim that and say, God, what do you need to do next? Because the blood of Jesus doesn't just cover sin. He removes it. Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people, following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.